off the ball rugby.
There were genuine fears as to what could happen that Munster team, because this wasn't an All Blacks XV.
No.
This wasn't a second string. This was Joe Rococo and the boys.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Wednesday's Rugby Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. On the way, the big calls from Andy Farrell as he names his team to play the All Blacks on Friday night. We hear from the Ireland camp as well, and from Scott Robertson too, as New Zealand show their hand. And Steve Borthwick weighs in on Danny Kerr's comments regarding Eddie Jones' time in charge of England. Rugby Daily on Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First up today, and as expected, Tadhg Furlong misses out on Ireland's test with the All Blacks on Friday night. The Leinster Tidehead suffered an injury in training, and his place in the front row goes instead to Finlay Beelam. Elsewhere in that front row, Ronan Kelleher will make his first appearance in over a month, having recovered from a knee injury to start at hooker. Farrell's gone with the same second row pairing from Ireland's test win over the Springboks in Durban in July, with James Ryan preferred alongside Joe McCarthy. Tadhg Byrne starts at blindside flanker, with Peter O'Mahony fit enough for a spot on the bench. Jack Crowley gets the nod at out half ahead of Kieran Frawley, who's on the bench along with versatile Leinster teammate Jamie Osborne. Mac Hansen has recovered sufficiently from a hip injury to start on the wing. In the centre, Bundy Aki is partnered by Gary Ringrose. So that Ireland team in full has Hugo Keenan at full back, Mac Hansen fit enough for a place on the wing with James Lowe on the left. Gary Ringrose and Bundy Aki are in the centre. Jack Crowley forms a half-back pairing with Jemison Gibson-Park. It's a front row of Andrew Porter, Ronan Kelleher and Finlay Beelam. Joe McCarthy is in alongside James Ryan in the second row. Tadhg Byrne starts a blindside flanker. Josh Van Der Fleer is on the open. Caelan Dorris will captain the team from number 8. On the bench, Rob Herring, who is yet to play this season, is the cover for Ronan Kelleher. Keane Healy and Tom O'Toole cover the props. Ian Henderson and Peter O'Mahony cover the other forward positions. Conor Murray is named on the bench, as is Kieran Frawley and his versatile Leinster teammate Jamie Osborne. Farrell hasn't given up hope of Furlong returning later in the series.
He had a bit of a slight hamstring strain coming into camp. Obviously he didn't play in his last Leinster game before he came into camp. We thought it would be something that would progress. He was rehabbing like a few other lads, and unfortunately it's just not picked up in time. So rather than push too hard and then him be out for the series, we'll take our time and hopefully he's back sooner rather than later.
There's still no Robbie Henshaw in the match day 23, and Farrell says Friday's game may be one too soon for the centre.
It's a good side. A couple of positions there where we've had to pick a few lads that's not had much game time, but there's other positions where lads have had good game time and are in top form, and unfortunately for Robbie that's just the timing of things. I mean, we all know what a world class player he is. Another week's training under the belt, which he's had, and he was very good actually in the training camp. It'll set him up for future games over the next month.
And Farrell also gave an update on Jonathan Sexton helping his tens prepare for this week.
Johnny comes in if and when suits in and around his busy schedule at work, and his presence around the group whenever he does come in is there for everyone to use. Him having a good rugby man who's obsessed with, pardon the pun, obsessed with his rugby in himself. It's nice to for everyone to have somebody like him to bounce a few stories off, and certainly I'm sure that Caelan, amongst others, are having a quiet word every now and again.
For his part, Scott Robertson has made two enforced changes to his All Blacks team for Friday's game. As he did at Twickenham last week, Asafo Amoa replaces the concussed Cody Taylor at hooker, and with Bowden Barrett also missing out with a head injury, Damien McKenzie takes his expected place at out half. Those changes have, in turn, forced two alterations to the All Blacks bench, with Crusaders hooker George Bell providing cover for Amoa, while Blues fly half Stephen Perofeta takes the place occupied last week by McKenzie. I asked Robertson about the growing rivalry between the sides, but I'm not sure he was too happy to see me.
Off the Ball. Is it a podcast?
Radio show.
Oh, radio show. Awesome. I think... the rivalry, is that the question, sorry? I think it's great. It's a great story. It's a great narrative, you know, like two countries that are, you know, similar in lots of ways. You know, small island off a big island. You know, they've enjoy each other's company, and but there's a fierce rivalry on the field and a lot of respect. Two smart teams that go at it. They play a good style. I think that's a big part of the storyline and a little bit of history. Recently, you know, they've had a bit of success in our backyard, and we've had some as well.
Have the Jonathan Sexton book quotes come up at all in your conversations with the squad this week?
No, they weren't on any PowerPoints, no.
Robertson isn't entirely on foreign ground, having played for Ards Seconds as a young man, and he says there will be some people coming down from County Down for Friday night's game.
Oh, the connection piece, you know, I came down and watched a lot of the Five Nation games here in Dublin, and got to understand how passionate they were, you know, and it was a great chance for me. It brought a lot of belief in how I could play, you know, like going home really set me off to make sure I would get an education, and you know, I wanted to play rugby at the highest level. So it was good, gave me a lot of confidence, like I said, and helped me grow up a little bit, get away from mum's dinners, look after myself, and you made some really good friends, and yeah, it was a great time in my life.
I asked fullback Will Jordan what a victory over Ireland would mean for the All Blacks on Friday night.
Yeah, I think for us, like, we want to be the best team in the world, so Ireland are currently the number one in the rankings, and at home it's going to be a big challenge. So we looked at this Northern Tour as a big opportunity for us to test where we're at against the best teams, and certainly doesn't get any bigger than that come Friday against an Ireland side that has been very tough to beat over the previous couple of years.
Jordan worked with new Ireland attack coach Andrew Goodman during their time together at the Crusaders, and was asked what Goodman will bring to Ireland's attack, what will be his first test.
Yeah, I've been trying to work that out, to be honest. First of all, Goody's a great man. He's someone who had a great influenced my career coming through, so it's great to see him on the international stage. I think he'll have a good plan around their kicking game and trying to put pressure on us in that space, particularly James Losley foot on the left edge. He's a real threat there, so they'll certainly come in that regard. And I think the way they have a lot of bodies in motion, constantly coming at you with front doors, back doors, guys off the 9-10's hip is challenging, so I'm sure he'll be just trying to continue what they've done in that space over the last few years with their attack.
Former All Blacks number 8, Zinzan Brooke, told the Good, the Bad and the Rugby ANZ podcast that he expects an arm wrestle on Friday.
I'm still going to sit with the All Blacks, but I still think it's going to be a 50-50. Mm. You know, I'd love us to rub their nose in it, but Ireland are a team that the one thing that they won't be is they won't be afraid of the Blacks, and that's going to be a big indicator of how the All Blacks are going to perform.
On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, All Blacks legend Sonny Bill Williams weighed in on the controversy involving Reko Ioane and Jonathan Sexton, emanating from Sexton's recent book, saying it adds to the spice of the occasion of Friday night.
I love it, and yes, it matters, and yes, we carry it. So all of these things matter for me, and. A better matter for these guys sitting in that dressing room, getting any type of motivation. We say hatred. Obviously, you don't hate them, but you use that as motivation. When you're playing at the highest level, every little bit counts. I remember before the World Cup, we played Australia. It was for the Bledisloe Cup was on the line in 2019. Australia had pumped us over in Australia. We walked into the change rooms on Captain's Run. Before Australia, and the Bledisloe Cup was on the line, and it had photos of us, but all as old men. And the headline in the Australian papers were, you know, the old blacks. So, and we went out there, we beat them 35-0. But I'm not going to lie, like the best players in the world love this because it just adds spice to it. And that's why I think this game is going to be one for the ages, boys.
England head coach Steve Borthwick's made one positional switch for their test with the Wallabies on Saturday. Ollie Lawrence starts at outside centre and Henry Slade at 12, having done the opposite in last week's narrow defeat to the All Blacks. Borthwick has made a couple of alterations to his bench with Luke Cowan-Dickie and Ollie Slatehome in for Theo Dan and Ben Curry. The England head coach has drawn criticism for his deployment of Marcus Smith, taking off the fly half with 18 minutes to go of last week's defeat. That despite Smith kicking 17 points and setting up Emmanuel Feyi-Wabosso for a try, and Borthwick has been explaining his thinking regarding that change.
There's a number of factors when you're making those decisions about where the game is at, where the game is going this next next period, and the condition, the reports you're getting of all the players, and the different combinations of players we have out there on the pitch at any one point in time. And to have the ability to have the fly-halves of Marcus Smith, George Ford, we've got Finn Smith in our squad also, three brilliant fly-halves. And to be able to bring a player of George's quality onto the pitch, there's lots of teams who want that. And ultimately, it was the margin was one of not very much to have a different result with the ball hitting the post there from the penalty. Unfortunately, the way that last play worked out, we didn't give him the right opportunity to take that drop goal attempt. It's sort of the learning of dealing in those high-pressure circumstances whilst we've gone through them, talked about them, practiced them, trained them. Doing them in that situation is now a big learning for the squad.
Borthwick has also addressed comments made by Danny Kerr in his book regarding Borthwick's predecessor, Eddie Jones. The former scrum half claims that Jones ruled by fear during his time in charge of England. Borthwick, though, is certain that that environment is not currently in place with England.
You know, you wouldn't expect me to be commenting on somebody else's experience of environment, and I think you'd also expect my focus and full attention to be on this environment and this team right now. So I'm very clear on what I want, what I think is the right environment that I want to build with this group of players now, and that's where my attention is. In this environment, we are focused, and I speak to the players really regularly about what they need to ensure we enhance their performance. We've got a young squad, many of whom are just new to Test rugby, and I will say I'm really grateful to all the senior players we have in this squad. We've got an excellent captain in Jamie George. We've got experienced internationals with Ellis Genge, Dan Cole. There's a list, Maro Itoje. There's a whole list of experienced players that we have. They understand what Test rugby is about. They are determined to make this team the best it possibly can be, and I'm determined to help them. So it's a very much a collaborative approach.
Highly rated back row Patrick Tuifua has confirmed his decision to stay in New Zealand and pursue a contract with the Hurricanes. The 20-year-old played for France at last year's World Under-20 Championship, indeed scoring a try in a 37-31 defeat to Ireland at that competition. Tuifua had been courted by a number of top-level French clubs, including Ronan O'Gara's La Rochelle and indeed Toulon, but is currently contracted to Hawke's Bay in New Zealand. He told L'Équipe that he'll begin pre-season training with the Hurricanes at the end of this month with a view to playing in 2025's Super Rugby. Tuifua played for France by virtue of his birth in the French territory of New Caledonia. He says if he left for France now, he'd have wasted the last 5 years of working towards a contract in New Zealand. However, Tuifua hasn't closed the door on one day representing France on the international stage. Finally, Sene Niopu says it was a difficult decision to leave Ireland. The former centre has been appointed the chief executive of North Otago Rugby Football Union in the country of her birth, New Zealand. In doing so, she's become the first Pacific Gap female CEO of a provincial union in the country. On Tuesday's Off the Ball, she told Owen it was a hard call to make to leave her adopted home.
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. Yes and no. I have so many wonderful friends that have become family for me here. And, oh, Jesus, I didn't think I was going to get emotional.
You're all right.
I've been really grateful to just properly immerse myself from moving here, first in Galway, some wonderful families, communities, friends there. Then obviously in Dublin, I've been just incredibly grateful to everyone that I've ever engaged with. And I do want to say a huge thank you to anyone I've ever come across in my journey throughout Ireland. It wasn't always easy, as I think people knew in the last few years. But I was really conscious. I wanted to make sure I left Ireland when the women's game was in a great place. Still grateful to be on the advisory for Irish Rugby for the women's game. So they've been fantastic support. Kevin Potts and Niall and the guys have been awesome support. They were super happy when they heard. So, you know, I made sure I rang everyone, dropped some emails as well before the release went out and then after. But I genuinely want to send my heartfelt gratitude to everyone, including yourself, on the show. Like, even thank you for giving me this opportunity to.
You've come straight from the airport. The gratitude is all ours.
No, but I do. I'm just, thanks for giving me the space to say thanks to everyone who's ever engaged, or who I have engaged with. They've made a difference in my life, and I will carry all of that wherever I go, and certainly in this next phase of my life as a CEO.
Senini Opu there. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. My name is Richie McCormack. I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you, with thanks to Bank of Ireland, tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.